a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
Taken aback, the phone didn't ring with a big giant Craig Ross on the caller ID. I was so confused.
Man, Craig, he comes in, he's getting hugs and fist bumps.
I know. I was really impressed. Man. I got a hug from Ed and Brian fist bumped
me. I'm really out of it, Sam.
I'm just honored. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, man. So, guys, first of all, Brian Cook from MGO Blog. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Hello. Have you been playing Christmas music all morning?
Have I been playing whose music?
Christmas music.
Oh, why would I play Christmas music?
Because it's Christmas.
This is a great. This
it's
is
basketball
this is the,
Christmas.
This is the best. I think it's the best 4 days in sports.
Yep, absolutely.
Period. It is outstanding.
Absolutely.
Look forward to it every year. Look forward to going back and forth with Ed, who thinks Michigan State is going farther than Michigan. No, you don't, because you think they're both going out Sweet 16, right?
Yeah.
You have Michigan State losing to Duke. You have Michigan losing to North Carolina.
I just talked to Steve Clark. That's why.
Okay. So Ed Fang from the, blame from the
Steve.
Power, right?
Blaming Steve Clark.
Yeah, we'll
for
all
sure.
blame Steve for
you know, I know you have some ways for people to win their racket, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thepowerrank.com. You got all your you got all my team rankings right there.
You got about three more hours to get on thepowerrank.com.
You got 3 hours. Hey, you'd be surprised how many people are jumping on there this morning.
I'm going to ask you about a few matchups this morning. And then, of course, back from Hawaii, he doesn't know quite why, but Craig
the weather was great, and then he showed up.
Yeah, that's all me. The I know why I'm back. I'm baggage. And I've learned that a lot.
Your baggage?
I'm baggage. My wife says we come this
don't
day.
Fly
my
United.
Wife says we go back that way. Don't fly. You're right. If you fly United, your baggage will be lost. That's my
maybe
experience.
That's, maybe
or
that's
stuffed
what
in the overhead
do.
Compartment.
Yeah, don't get me started on United. That's a horrible story.
Why do you
that's
fly
everyone.
United?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
It's
like we have a Delta hub here.
Yeah.
Relatively good experiences on Delta.
Man, you heard about that, didn't you, Ira? They put the dog in
the
overhead
compartment. That's why we on this show, I think recently, Southwest, Delta, and American have all taken care of us. United is,
Hey, passenger had a dog in a carrier. They wouldn't let the passenger keep the dog down. Made them put the dog up in the overhead compartment. They land a few hours later, and the dog died.
I don't understand why the dog died.
That's a terrible story.
Unless it was a puppy less than a year old and it must have lacked air or something.
Is that what happens?
I imagine it was suffocated.
That if you don't have air, that you don't
I didn't know that those were airtight. Like, I thought they were ventilated.
I didn't know we'd become a country in Western.
We should have to figure that out, right?
That's where I put my Komodo Dragon when I fly United.
We shouldn't have to find out if the overhead compartment is
airtight.
Maybe it
hibernates. I don't know.
But anyway, guys, you know, Michigan, they wind up with a 3 seed, as many predicted, a lower 3 seed than Michigan State, which is freaking ridiculous to me. But they didn't get a bad draw. They didn't wind up at home like the Spartans. But I think Michigan got a favorable draw. I know you guys are super nervous about the North Carolina game. I think it'll be a tough game, assuming both teams make it that far. But I just feel, I feel like this team and what they are defensively is much more formidable. And I don't see, you think about this, Beilein said in his press conference they put up 49 against Michigan in the first half. No, they put up 51. And I don't see North Carolina or any team putting up 50 points and a half against Michigan at this point.
Well, that team was a very different team than the one that will mm-hmm. enter the tournament. So, you know, Xavier Simpson got one more minute than E.B. Watson. Eli Brooks played 18 minutes. It was a team that was still trying to find itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jordan Poole's getting his first real playing time against a real team. Isaiah Livers is getting his first real playing time against a real team. So it's a young team, it's an uncertain team, and it's playing on the road. None of which will be the case.
If they play
UNC in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it feels like we're ahead of ourselves, right? I mean, are they going to beat Montana?
Yeah. Yes.
Should beat Montana.
I scouted Montana.
I saw it, and I was appreciative. I watched the tape on your site, and they didn't look real They didn't look like the sort of team that's going to beat Michigan, yes. That's for sure.
So they don't shoot a lot of threes. They have a couple mm-hmm. of 6'8 guys who are their posts who have no stretchability. They do rely heavily on Oregon transfer Ahmad Rory as their point guard. Yeah. And so that's not great when you're going up against Xavier Simpson. Yeah, I mean, they trap a lot. They have a very aggressive defense that forces turnovers. Mm-hmm. None of the matchup parts really look great for Montana.
Yeah, it looked to me like they tried to live off turnovers. They do trap the point guard. They'll double-team your ball carriers.
Yeah, they trap pick and roll a lot.
Yeah, and but I just don't think that's going to work very well against us. They're two big guys, I think, are one for nine from the season from three, something like that. So they're not shooting them, and when they do, they don't make them. Neither one of them look like a great post-up player,
They're not guys
subtle who, post-up players. Let me put it that way.
They're not going to dump it down and ask those guys to beat Mo or Teske one-on-one.
Right. They pretty much give it to their guards and let their guards try and beat you. And I don't think that's going to work real well against Michigan. I don't see that.
The one matchup that is intriguing is Rock versus Michael Ogwene. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Ogwene.
So he was their defensive player of the year in the conference. He's also their most efficient player on offense. He's a guy who only shoots threes or gets to the rim, and he's pretty good at doing that unassisted. So that'll be a challenge, and you know that's their best way to stay in the game is if that guy decisively wins his matchup against Mark.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think this game's all about how Michigan comes out, right? I mean, you want to see them pick up where they left off in the Big Ten tournament, forget about 2-week layoff, keep up that defensive intensity and look crisp on offense. I mean, and hopefully they don't come out flat.
This
keep Montana
not,
in the game.
This team's not beating Michigan.
I'm not saying that Montana is going to beat Michigan, but I think it's all about how Michigan comes out and plays tonight.
I'm not worried about see them be the sharp. Layoff with John Beilein because he gets to practice. You know,
practice
like Michigan's not going to come out not sharp because they've been running John Beilein practices. You know, maybe if Steve Alford was the coach, I'd be terrified. But
foul trouble. I mean, if they had foul trouble, I'm trying to think of ways in which this game is going to be in question. I just don't.
Well, just not shooting that well for Michigan too, which is hard to predict.
If they go 4 for 25 from three,
then the game will be because this is not a team that's going to put distance Montana. At least from reading the opposing scouting reports, there's Andrew Kahn talked to one of their regular season one of their in conference
opponents.
Eastern
Washington's coach.
And this is not the type of team that you know even if Michigan shoots poorly. Is going to be able to pull away from Michigan. This is a gritty, as you said, they're going to try to turn you a gritty team, a physical team going to try to turn you over some, but they are not. I mean, there's obviously more reason to be concerned about a Houston team, more talent. They can shoot threes.
Numbers favor Houston over Michigan, by the way. Well, you can keep asking about that.
I honestly, I've only watched Houston one game.
You digging into my member numbers there?
I had someone email me that. They wanted you to have a lot of grief given.
I know. I got that email after the show on Monday, Ira. So I replied to him. I did not get a reply back from that guy, though. So
I got another one just now.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I only watched Houston in that Cincinnati game. They are a team. They are an aggressive man-to-man team. They will overplay you on the perimeter. I think Michigan is going to have a field day in the paint because this is a team that if you step on their toes on the perimeter, whether it's a Z or Muhammad able to get a step or their outstanding use, whether it's pick and roll or slip, they're going to get some opportunities around the basket. I love a Beilein Kelvin Sampson matchup. Now, you know, the thing is they can shoot threes.
Especially on short prep.
Yeah, Houston can catch fire from distance. But
right, I mean, that's what happened in the second half against Wichita State. And I thought that was the most interesting game because Wichita State is a more talented team. This is a team that has top 10 potential. Could make a run in this tournament.
Wichita's
but Houston,
more talented than Cincy?
No, than Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And Houston just punched them in the mouth and would not let go. And they hit some threes, and they pulled that game out when they probably shouldn't have won it.
I watched both those games, and my memory of those games is Rob Gray pulling up for a bad three-pointer and making it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like 34, 35 on the season. He takes a lot of unassisted threes because he has no other choice a lot of the time. You know, he's 6'1". He's a high-usage guy. I mean, he's a good player. But
it's a little Cowan and Mason in there?
I mean, a little bit, but
in
not
usage numbers, if nothing else.
Yeah, but like – Man, I like it when you're taking a guy who you rely heavily on and you can mm-hmm. put him on Xavier Simpson. And, you know, he's been eating the lunch guys better than Rob Gray for the last 2 months.
Yeah, I mean they're a small team. Houston is, and yeah. it's interesting. Their front court, I mean, they play 3-6-1 guys and 2-6-6 guys.
Yeah, and 75% of their minutes at the 4 and 5 are by 6-6 and 6-7 guys.
Okay. But they're still a pretty good rebounding team.
Yeah.
They're a good offensive rebounding team, even though they're small. You know, I'm not that impressed with Wichita State. I saw them 3 times in Maui live.
Yeah, it's a team that's underachieved.
And I didn't think they were. I wasn't.
They have that guy who looks 40, though. I like that guy.
The guy. Wait, Landry Shamet?
Connor Franken? No, Connor.
Oh, right, that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's all right. I mean, like, Shamet's an NBA point guard leading that team.
No, Jack I just Morris like that he looks
player.
Old.
Great, Brian. no, but I mean, Wichita State was. You know, one of the gambling guys I follow on Twitter still thinks this is a team that can make the Final Four. It's just a team that just hasn't played defense at the level they did last year with pretty much the same personnel, which is a little bit of a mystery. But that's a talented team.
Yaklich away from them.
Yak.
You know, the thing about Wichita State is that team seems sort of unguided and unfocused.
Oh, why are we talking about Wichita State instead of Houston, though?
Because it has implications, because one of their last games was against Houston, where Houston beat them.
Yeah,
I think it gives you insight into what kind of team Houston is.
KenPom has Houston at 17,
yeah,
right? Where do you have them?
I have them higher. You know, I'm actually looking at my numbers. I have them 18th on offense, which is slightly ahead of Michigan at 22nd, 7th on defense. I mean, it's kind of the same. Yeah, I mean, I think the way they play defense reminds me of what Michigan does. I think mm-hmm. Michigan is a more talented team on offense, and they need to show it to win that game.
So if they try to switch everything, it's going to be interesting because they don't have a wing, so they've got 3-6-1 guys.
Right.
So you're going to have those mismatches, and is Michigan going to be able to take advantage of those? Maybe. We'll see. I think Houston's path to victory is either getting absurdly hot from three or holding Michigan to like 60 points, which they can. Their defense is very
legitimate. They did it in Cincinnati, right? They won that game.
Cincinnati's not a great
56-55.
And that was, you know, that's, you know, you get, you know, 4 games in 4 days, kind of like dead legs in the end of those tournaments.
And then Cincinnati. Yeah. I mean, this is not a great offensive team.
Right.
So.
I'm really intrigued by the Cincinnati team. My numbers love them.
Oh, really?
Fourth
Everybody's
best.
Numbers love them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're the second best 2 seed on KenPom, so they're.
Yeah, I mean they elite defensive team, only behind Virginia. But you know, I mean, they're limited on offense.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think they look. They look good in the bottom half of that region, but there's. You know, the top half, man. And first of all, UVA, they lost their freshman sixth man of the year.
Come on, man. He played half their minutes. It's not. He'll it find is somebody a fact.
For,
to get
for a
in
team
there.
That, for a team that struggles to get buckets, he's one of their bucket getters. He, albeit off the bench, but he.
They don't really struggle to get buckets, I would say.
You don't think they struggle?
They're
challenged. They're challenged.
I mean, they have a couple of crafty scorers that can hit threes. I mean, they got a big guy that shoots 40% from the foul line. That's the Jack Salt's my man. I love that guy. But 40% from the line. But, yeah, they got some challenges on offense.
Let's go ahead and get to the phones real quick before we get to the break and talk to Steve in Chicago. Steve, to what do we owe the pleasure?
Hey, Webb, your friend Steve, Chicago.
How you doing, Steve?
Hey, listen, dude. I'm leaving Chicago to get away from Obama.
Why does he bring up politics? Why do you bring up politics?
He might have been talking about Obama picking Michigan State.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Obama picked Sparty, and I'm driving to Ann Arbor, and all I'm hearing you guys are talking about Sparty and Obama. I don't understand it at all.
Sam mentioned him once.
I mentioned it.
Is it off-the-cuff comment? One time. That's it. The
whole
time.
It was like a 30-second minute.
And 3 hours and 20 minutes.
In the morning.
In nearly 3.5 hours of radio, he made one off-the-cuff comment.
Do me a favor. Don't worry about North Carolina. We got Montana.
Well, here's Steve.
I didn't come out at that time. I think it's just cut out.
First, calm down, man. I mean, you're driving.
Sam, does he not live up to his name every time he calls?
Right. I'm fearful for the other people on the road, man.
The board here says Steve, and then in parentheses it says Angry Steve.
Every time he calls up, he goes,
angry
he goes,
something.
He goes, I go, WTK. This is how I should probably go, WTK. Who's this? He goes, Steve, Chicago. I'm at Web.
I was expecting something because of that, but I wasn't. Well, I was still impressed.
He caught up last month saying, you know, these Iowa people, they think they're going to come give it to Michigan. Like, so what? They think they're going to give it to Michigan. This is before the Big Ten tournament.
You
but
got a point,
Steve,
though.
Steve, calm down, man. You know, I was talking
about. Sure, that
about,
isn't Greg from Saginaw?
That was. It does sound like Greg.
I mean, it reminds me it sort of stylistically. Like
now, come on, yeah, Webb!
Everyone's picking Michigan State. I can't figure out why.
Neither can I.
Oh, I mean, come on. The talent
you can
level
figure
on
out
team.
Why. They have incredible talent.
In the
they
tournament.
Just have crappy you, coaching.
It's the month of Izzo. Talent. Come on now.
Come
let's
on,
live
Sam,
up to
you got, you
playing Kenny Goins 20
them.
Minutes a game.
That's not hard. I can understand that you don't believe that.
The numbers, but, I mean, they a soft schedule. They got handled by Michigan, exposed some serious flaws in that team.
3-point wins over Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa.
They won a lot of close games, and that's random. And we
went to overtime with
the
Rutgers.
They also blew a lot of bad teams, too. I mean,
we got to get to a break. I want to ask you guys about some of these matchups, to ask you about your bracket. We got to get to a break back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the ticket.
Honestly, I may just play this the rest of the show.
It was super, super angry. I just want to hear him happy once. I mean, was he happy when Michigan won the Big Ten tournament?
Seriously.
Good. Well, I've never heard a happy
call. So I did get a message from someone who said that he and Phil are long-lost cousins. And the thing is, Steve's is like Phil, where when they win, they don't call, right? Phil hasn't called since they won the Big Ten.
That is right.
And so
he called before the Big Ten tournament?
Well, he has called before the Big Ten tournament.
But he certainly hasn't.
And Steve hadn't called since he said that Iowa fans thought that Iowa was going to win, and he apparently seemed to agree with them, apparently, and he hadn't called since. So,
well, so what? Iowa fans think they're going to win. So what?
I mean, but he's not
Iowa
mad.
Iowa fans should think they're going to win.
Steve's not mad at the program. He's mad at you, which I think is a respectable point of view. Like.
Let's worry about Montana. I'm not playing in the game. I mean, as long as the players are worried about Montana, that's all that counts.
I'm mad at you. We talked about Montana.
I'm sure Beeline's focused on Montana.
We talked about Montana.
Hey, so, Ed, you know, one game I've been bullish on, because everyone has, you know, you got to have some upsets in a tournament, right?
You don't have to have some upsets.
If you have a chance at your bracket being accurate, which no one's ever done, there are going to be upsets.
No, you can win your pool
like, completely
just fine without him.
Will be a chalk bracket.
Okay.
I mean, this is a great question because I got someone noticed that I sent out my bracket advice and the Sweet 16 was all 1-4 seeds and they're like, how can that be accurate? And I was like, well, I mean, you're going with chalk, which is on average going to win, and unless you are basketball Notre Dame, that is going to pick like the 12 seed that's going to make the Sweet 16, which is probably has a lot of randomness to do
New Mexico
with making
State.
Well, you don't have to pick whatever they are.
Yeah, they don't have to make the Sweet 16. I like Davidson over Kentucky. You know, I look at the matchup that Kentucky had in Oregon. The last game they lost, went over this on the show. Last game they lost was against Florida. Mm-hmm. Florida hit 10 threes or 42% from three that day. Yeah. It's not a game physically that you expect.
Craig hates that.
Kentucky has better athletes, but Florida.
Right, but
Florida hit a bunch of threes that day. You look at Davidson; they got seven players averaging 39% from three or better. They're averaging 10 made threes in the last four games. And now comes the news that Jared Vanderbilt is probably not going to play in this game. You know, and one of those lengthy guys up front, bullish on the boards for them.
I think that's an interesting pick. I mean, Davidson almost takes half of their shots from three. Kentucky is not a high IQ basketball team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So, I think it's interesting. I mean,
Craig is just seething over there.
I'm not seething. I just don't think it's happening. I mean,
angry Craig.
But it could. Right?
It could, but that you could say that about anything except a 16 against a 1.
Well, and go Penn. Penn's got a 5. Actually, Penn is pushing a 10% chance in the markets.
10%
as of this morning.
Well, I don't think Penn is going to win, and I don't think
either,
Davidson's going to win.
So why don't you
either.
Think? Tell me why you don't think Davidson's going to win.
Because I think
Kentucky will physically handle them. And I agree, Kentucky's coached terribly. They just it looks like he just rolls the ball out.
Who's your hot shot upset?
Who's my hot shot upset?
Hot shot upset, other than Bucknell, obviously.
You picked Bucknell?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't, but Bucknell. But what the heck? But no, I tell you, I like Houston. Sorry. That's not a hot shot upset.
He's talking about the first round. What about the two teams on the other side?
I'm talking about the first round.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the two on the other side where you have the 12 and the 13 look. And they're playing – it's New Mexico State and College of Charleston playing against the Clemson and Auburn team, both those teams that have lost major players in the last month or so.
Clemson is vulnerable. Right. I think Ohio State is vulnerable.
Yep, South Dakota State has way more tournament experience than anybody, except for maybe Andrew Dockich on the roster for Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think Miami is, I think, like a 1.5-point favorite. Yeah, in the betting markets over Loyola.
You know,
a lot of people pick Loyola.
There are a lot of people are talking up Charleston's chances in that.
For me, is not necessarily just about who is on those teams like New Mexico State and Charleston as much as who they are playing. And with Auburn and Clemson, both of those teams lost a very important forward that was very important to those teams. So those teams and those guys were lost in February, so they're not the same teams they were when they were winning all the games to get them their 4 and 5 seeds.
Yeah, and Auburn is coaching like there's no tomorrow because there's no tomorrow for them. So I'm not going to make
it. Bruce Pearl's track record in postseason exactly?
I don't know.
I do remember him getting rolled to Tennessee by Michigan by like 1,000 points.
Yeah, but he also made an Elite Eight 1 year, right?
I think it was the year before he painted his face at the women's game, and then he hasn't been the same since.
He's done a good job with that team down there this year.
All right. So
I like Loyola. What do you have Loyola
in? I mean, I have it a 50-50 game. So,
oh, okay.
I mean, that's a good one.
That's not an upset.
I mean, the biggest double-digit seed I have is Butler at a 10, about 59% chance to win that game.
Helan Martin, they have a bucket getter on that team. Butler does, Val does. I like them. I picked them in a first-round upset. So,
what about over Purdue?
No,
Purdue's not going to lose.
Purdue's going to rip that bracket to shreds.
I agree with you. Purdue is going to rip that bracket to shreds. And I think I like Purdue against Villanova.
I think Purdue is the easiest path to the Elite Eight.
I agree with that.
What about St. Bonaventure and Florida?
I like Florida, but the Bonnies run this weird zone that, I mean... It confused Aaron Holiday into just murdering everybody at the end of that game. More between a 1-3-1 and a 2-3, depending on where you are in the court. You know, I could see that catching some people. The problem is they're just so small. Kind of a classic.
They look like the better team against UCLA.
They were.
And it's an interesting thing about zone that... And I don't really like zone defense. I think a high IQ basketball team like Michigan should be able to just destroy any zone. But... I was talking to someone about it this week, and it's like the zone just makes you take shots you're not used to taking as a college basketball player, and it's just confusing. And you would think a open 10-foot jump shot is a good shot, but it sometimes it just doesn't turn out to be a good shot against the zone.
No,
and that's why they're effective.
I hate it when Michigan plays zones because they spend 5 minutes just kind of looking at it, like poking it to see if it's dead, and it's not.
Right, but I mean, when Michigan went into Syracuse in the Final Four in 2013, that didn't scare you. Didn't scare me.
Dude,
we almost lost that game.
Spike Albrecht hit like two or three pointers from the half-court stripe. Like, they hit a lot of terrible shots in that game, and they got some assists from Mitch McGarry. But, you know, that one of my priorities in a team I don't want to face is, like, I don't want to see a zone. Which is interesting because, like, I actually would rather play Houston than San Diego State in the second round.
Because
San Diego State is huge. They have 6'10 guys.
7'1 guy off the bench.
And they play a lot of 2-3. And I just, I don't, Michigan doesn't have a rise up 3-point shooter, really. And I like that against the zone.
You know, San Diego State is not a stiff team. I mean, that's a team that actually could beat Houston. They're alive against Houston. That's not. It isn't a given that we'll play.
Their top usage guy is Malik Pope, who's a 6'10 4 guy. And all respect to the progress that Duncan Robinson has made as a defender, but, like, you know, if I'm looking at matchups, I don't want the opposition to run their offense through the four. That's why I'm not, you know, super enthused about the UNC game.
Okay. What do you guys think of Arizona?
Also playing like there's no tomorrow.
I don't understand how you can be 74th in defense but start 2 7-footers. And with a guy, Sean Miller, that has a defensive reputation, they're just not that good enough on that side of the ball to make a run.
You know, given
honestly,
what,
I mean, I think Arizona-Kentucky is like the ultimate Sweet 16 matchup between underachieving teams.
I'm not a big fan of their chances just because of the defense they're from the Pac-12 and the committee took a dump on the Pac-12 and UCLA was like, that is a correct take. So I don't believe in anyone in that conference. It's basically a mid-major team.
There's two teams I'm interested in.
Two 7-footers.
I wonder what you guys think about. One is Xavier, who has a one seed. I haven't seen much of them this year. I mean, I know.
The weakest one seed.
Weakest one seed by stats. Gonzaga will be favored if they meet in the Sweet 16. And you see that? I don't want to see him because, I don't want to see Trevon Blewett and just be like, why is he playing there
as opposed to here?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a big Gonzaga fan.
Gonzaga would be problematic. I mean, it's like Gonzaga every year. They have bigs that are skilled that can play from the 3-point line in. I think they have 5 guys on that team that average double figures. I mean, and this is one of those matchups. This is one of those teams that can mirror Michigan in the front court. It would be tough. I think Michigan will win that game. I have Michigan going to the Final Four. I have Michigan going to the Final Four. I think they beat Arizona. I think they beat UNC. I think they beat Gonzaga. And I actually have them getting stopped by Arizona in the Final
Four.
I think DeAndre Ayton
is a beast.
And now,
don't think Teskey could lock DeAndre Ayton down?
This dude, no, I don't.
Dunk on him. He dunked on Haas.
I do not think he can lock DeAndre Ayton down. No, I don't.
It's gonna start raining in 3-pointers.
I also feel like they got. I don't know how they keep avoiding disaster. I mean, between the FBI probe, I thought Trier was gonna be gone for the season when he got suspended. But that's he keeps you honest. You cannot, watching them just act like the zone wasn't there. Against that, just threw it right over the top. DeAndre Ayton he can finish, but he is super skilled too. I mean, he is not just a dunking machine, a finisher.
Twos versus threes, man.
He's the first player. He's the first player going in the NBA draft.
Their vulnerability is their backcourt. I think Parker Jackson Cartwright is a liability on the defensive end.
But his name is Parker Jackson Cartwright. That's almost like 3 first names these days.
I can see some of the skepticism there, but I just think they have the best player in the tournament by far, and they have the ability to make you play them a little more honest than you would like to against the best player in the country. I mean, Trier back for them is huge in my opinion. So
what
do you see? So you like Ayton and Trier more than Bridges and Jackson?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Because a lot of the people picking Michigan State would mirror your argument about why they're picking them.
When has anyone on Michigan State looked as good as DeAndre Ayton?
Magic Johnson? That's a while back.
All right. I had something for this. So, yeah, I mean, State's interesting because, of course, they won a lot of games. But if you look at their finishing stretch, they beat Wisconsin by 3. They beat Indiana by 3. They beat Iowa in overtime, I believe, by 3. They have a lot of close calls against not great teams, and then occasionally they'll just hand blast somebody by 30. So they've been
down by 27 at Northwestern.
Yeah. They won by 11 or something.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, it was a crazy game.
They're mercurial, and I feel like against the quality of tournament teams, like that could catch them in the first or second rounds. And then they will not beat Duke.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Duke's got its ups and downs, too.
Well, but, I mean, Krzyzewski is, what, 13-1 against Izzo?
11-1. 11-1.
11-1, okay, I exaggerated.
You don't think that means anything?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think it means a darn thing.
He didn't know how much he likes Michigan State. Ed is bullish on Michigan State.
Can you reveal your green shirt you're wearing, please?
And then if they do get that far, they're likely to get Kansas in Omaha, which is like, that doesn't sound great.
Well, unless Kansas loses today.
Yes, unless Kansas loses today.
My auspicious alma mater could shock the world. That would be awesome.
It would There's be. No, there is
I
a
mean,
way.
There is a way.
It's 10% in the markets right now.
You think Kansas?
It's the one, Sam. The one thing that Penn does well defending the three, Kansas doesn't shoot the ball well. It's there's.
Come on.
If there's going to be a one seed to go down, it's going to be Kansas.
Not going
to
happen. But
and
we
it's
root
not
for it.
Likely. But if one's going to go down, it's going to be Kansas. Okay. It's going to be today at 1:30 or 2 or whenever that game tips.
All right. Is anyone have you picked that? Have you picked them in any of your brackets?
No, but when
any bracket.
No, when SB Nation came and did a video in San Francisco, I mean, it was 2012, and just as a joke, I picked Syracuse as a one to go down against. I don't even remember the team, and they almost lost, and I'm still angry about it.
But you're not picking Penn in any of your brackets.
No,
I have a draft pool that I picked Penn in last, but whatever.
Let me. What about Rhode Island? Has any of you guys seen Rhode Island?
That's
play?
My man, EC. EC, Matthew, we got to get to it. Right. We'll get to it on the other side. Get to your phone calls as well here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Let's get to the phones, get some callers on with us really quickly, starting off first with Don in Ann Arbor. Don, what's up?
Morning, gentlemen. I'm going to call in your historical knowledge of Michigan basketball. To me, Teske is the first true seven-footish guy we've had in a while who seems to have the ability to truly alter activity around the basket defensively, you know, blocking shots, altering what people do. Is that an unfair comparison to past big men Michigan's had recently?
Eric Riley was a seven-footer who could alter around the basket, but that's my recall. Riley, however, was the victim of the worst officiating in the history of the Big Ten. I mean, he couldn't breathe.
We don't have time for this.
All right, all right. But in any event, yes.
Hey, are you the person that hates Terry Weimer?
No, I don't hate Terry Weimer.
Okay. Someone hates Terry Weimer.
I'll put a shout out for Ekpe Udoh, though. He was.
That's right. Good point.
Yeah.
He wasn't a seven-footer.
Okay, but he was a shot alter and a shot blocker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how he would have fared if he had stuck around in B-line and been a ball screen, pick and roll guy. His career
he would have fared
different.
Well. Yeah.
His career would have been different here. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. Go up to Lansing and talk to Mark. Mark, what's up?
Yeah, I think about Roy Tarpley as well.
Yeah,
that's
a good point.
Michigan State's got leadership issues. I don't know if they can be reconciled. If they can be remedied during the tournament, but they got real leadership issues. I got two questions, or a comment and question. One is, when are teams going to start playing Z dishonestly? In other words, right now, they're showing him a low lot. They play him tight. That allows him to blow by and get to the basket. I don't think he's made a mid-range pull-up shot in 2 years at Michigan. I'm curious as to when teams are going to start adjusting to that. And then I saw Brandon Johns last night, and I think he's a special player. I'm looking forward to seeing him in Michigan. I don't, and that's about it, guys.
Who would you give Mr. Basketball to? Brandon over David Julius?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. We'll talk about that once the season's over, but this is really an interesting and good class that B-Line has brought in.
It's a really good
class. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's something for 4 weeks from now.
Yeah, it's for 4 weeks from now. I agree.
What was his first one?
You want to talk about people playing off Z.
I mean, if you watch that Purdue game, they sagged off him big time. And he's so quick.
Yeah.
And I guess it's. I mean, you're talking about Isaac Haas playing off him, right?
It's like playing against a chair.
But he was still able to blow by. But when teams collapsed, you know, if he got in the lane and teams collapsed, he was able to still find the open man.
Well, they've done a good job of being able to rescreen. So, mm-hmm. or Z will turn down the screen. So in that case, you can play off him. But if you're anticipating that I have to go real quick to get around the screen, you're in a bad body position and you're not able to recover because he's so quick. And then Teske, there were a couple of opportunities where, you know, they do sag off him and they cut him off. Teske rescreens and cuts off the big, and then Z has a pass to the other side of the bucket.
It's a good question. It's a really fair point. But I still think if you're quick 25 feet from the basket, you're quick 15 or 10 feet from the basket, too.
And he may not be pulling up.
It opens up different sorts of opportunities.
He has really worked hard on that runner in the lane, and he's, you know,
he did hit that, like, teardrop over Luca Garza.
He lived on those things in high school. That was, that yeah.
Well, you'd have to.
You know, and so
he's throwing up all kinds of crazy stuff and then looking at Beeline because Beeline's like, that's not going to work in a game.
And it goes in. yeah, but I mean, I, you know, it's interesting. I suspect you will see as we go forward teams sagging off him quite a bit, but I'm not sure it's going to work either.
I mean, it gives
him other opportunities.
It's such an obvious thing to do that I feel like if it was going to be a problem, it would already be a problem.
Let's go to the phone. Talk to Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, what's up?
I was just calling to give a congrats to the Michigan women's basketball team and Kim Spartan-Rico for making the NCAA tournament. And I have a question. If we had to play in the title game, we got to take a one game, one play, one moment at a time. But I really think this team can win the national title. But if you had to play either Duke or Michigan State, you had to pick one. Who would you rather play in the national title game?
Michigan State. All day. Michigan State.
Yeah,
Michigan. I continue to believe Michigan plays them 10 times. They win 7 or 8. They're a better team.
You're gonna give Michigan State 3 teams in 3 games.
If Michigan gets up 6 points in that game, you're gonna see Izzo like panic and put in like Kenny Goins at all 5 positions.
Yeah, I still don't understand the last Michigan State game. I don't understand why Ward plays 10 minutes and
Ward was kind of 10.
I know.
Ira, why did Ward only play 10 minutes in that game?
Because Izzo hates him.
Thank you, Ira.
Or because he's a really bad matchup, or both.
Real quick, Ed, Clemson, New Mexico State, Auburn, Charleston. You never said which way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the football matchup Auburn-Clemson is happening in the round of 32.
All right.
Hey, Sam, can I just jump in real quick?
Sure.
If you've ever wondered whether the RPI or the preseason polls are a better predictor of tournament success, 538 just published my article on it, so go check it out.
And the answer is preseason polls?
Come on, man. You got to go read the article, Craig.
You want Final Four?
You guys think it's RPI.
Did you want Final Fours?
Yes, Final Fours, quick.
UNC, Purdue, Duke, and who's the one in the other bracket?
Virginia.
Virginia, yeah, that's
Cincy, Xavier, Villanova. No, Cincy, Xavier, Purdue, and Duke.
All right, Villanova, Duke, UNC, and Cincinnati. I think they're so close to Virginia in my numbers that, I mean, Virginia's a little bit higher, but it's close enough that I still haven't figured out why my numbers love Cincy so much, but they do.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks for your time. Giving it to us again this week.